الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. 100 Pearls of Wisdom from Tafsir Nurul Irfan, Part 7. Attar's Prayer. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to Part 7 of 100 Pearls of Wisdom from Tafsir Nurul Irfan, bless them with true love for you and your final prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Forgive them, their parents, and their entire family without accountability. The excellence of reciting salat upon the beloved prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, declared, "Whoever recites Salat upon me 3 times during the day and during the night, out of love and longing for me, it is upon the grace of Allah that He forgives their sins of that day and night." Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. 14 beautiful lessons from Surah Al-Zumar. Number 1. Remembering past hardships during times of ease and maintaining fear of Allah Almighty are qualities of true believers. Number 2. A scholar of Islam is superior to a non-scholar worshipper. The angels were devoted worshippers. Whilst Prophet Adam alayhi salam was a scholar, the worshippers were commanded to bow before the scholar. Number 3. If you are in a place where you cannot worship Allah Almighty freely, migrate to a place where there is freedom to worship. In short, leave everything behind, but never stop worshipping Allah Almighty. The rank of the patient. Number 4. The fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, explained, "The reward for every good deed will be given with measure, except for patience. For its reward will be without measure. Patience will not be weighed, and there is no scale for the patient." Number 5. The unique rank of Islam's first caliph, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, is such that he was a companion, his parents were companions, his children were companions, and his grandchildren were companions. This equates to 4 generations of companionship. This was his distinction, just as Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet of 4 generations. Number 6. Taqwa and khashya, grief and sadness in a believer's heart due to sins, is the form of fear that leads to one obeying Allah Almighty. The essence of faith lies in this fear. Otherwise, even Satan fears Allah Almighty, as he said, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. Indeed, I fear Allah, Lord of all the worlds. Number 7. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, he informed Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Sayyidina Talha, Sayyidina Zubair, Sayyidina Saad bin Abi Waqqas, and Sayyidina Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhum about his faith, and invited them to accept Islam also. Through his call, they too embraced Islam. Subhanallah. Blessed is the tree that bears such fruit. Number 8. A crop grows lush green, ripens and turns yellow, after which it is harvested, before being separated into grain and husk. The beauty of this world and human life is initially fresh and attractive, but eventually perishes. Do not be deceived by its greenness, i.e. worldly adornments. Number 9. Sufis, rahmahumullah, say, excessive eating, sleeping, and talking harden the heart. Eat less, you will fall ill less. Speak less, and you will sin less. Recite salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in abundance, and you will not die in disbelief. Number 10. A believer is the servant of one Lord, whereas the polytheist is enslaved by thousands of false deities. A guest of two houses goes hungry, and someone with multiple masters lives in confusion, wondering whom to please and whom to turn to for his needs. The servant of one Lord is at ease. The believer enjoys peace, whilst the disbeliever is restless in this world and the hereafter. Number 11. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam would recite the entire noble Quran to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam every Ramadan. Number 12. There are two souls within a person, one resident or governing, which sustains life, the other travelling, which maintains awareness and senses. The first departs at death, the second during sleep. In sleep, the soul that maintains consciousness leaves, whilst the body continues living. Number 13. The sacred being of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the key to all the divine treasures of the heavens and the earth. Number 14. On the day of judgment, the noble prophets alayhi musallatu wassalam will stand as claimants. The ummah of al-Mustafa will stand as witnesses, and the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam will be the royal witness, such that the fate of the entire creation will be decided through his intercession. Subhanallah, what an astonishing sight that will be. May Allah Almighty allow us to witness it through His mercy. 10 beautiful lessons from Surah Al-Mu'min. Number 1. The intercession of the angels is true. Even today they continue to supplicate for the forgiveness of the believers. A supplication for all Muslims. Number 2. Supplicating for Muslims in their absence without any hidden personal motive is the sunnah of the angels and a means of pleasing Allah Almighty. Number 3. Supplicating for Muslim brothers whilst praising Allah Almighty at sacred places is an accepted act. A Hajj pilgrim should supplicate for all Muslims at the Kaaba and at the beloved Prophet's Rawza in Medina. Number 4. The angels supplicate for us Muslims so that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam may be pleased with them. We should strive to please the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by supplicating for his prophetic household, noble companions and the people of Medina, mentioning them with love and speaking well of them. In fact, remembering the pious predecessors on their death anniversaries carries the same beautiful purpose. Number 5. Some hidden matters of the heart will be called to account, such as corrupt beliefs and firm resolve to commit evil. Yet, a person will not be held accountable for involuntary evil thoughts. Number 6. The most beneficial way of giving advice is for a preacher to include himself amongst the sinners. For example, saying, "We have become negligent of prayer," even if he prays regularly. His sincerity and goodwill become clear in this manner. Number 7. One should seek refuge in Allah Almighty from the plots and deception of the jealous. Number 8. Spending the night in jest and amusement is sinful. Staying awake without reason is inappropriate. Number 9. Sufis say, everything has its zakat. Every blessing entails separate gratitude. The gratitude of time is to spend it in permissible action, dedicating some of it to the remembrance of Allah Almighty and working for Islam. Number 10. Allah Almighty granted mankind upright posture and did not create them like animals. He gave them hands to eat with, so their heads bow only to the provider of sustenance and not to sustenance itself. Subhanallah. 9 beautiful lessons from Surah As-Sajdah, Number one, when difficult days arrive, a person begins regarding flaws as skills. Number two, a righteous slave of Allah Almighty still seeks forgiveness even after enacting a good deed, saying, "My Lord, I could not do good in a manner worthy of presenting to you." Number three, the earth is superior to the skies, as it is the resting place of the noble prophets, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Sustenance seeks who it is destined for. Number four, sustenance was created before the one who was to receive it. Why should a person worry excessively about it? The soul was created 4,000 years before the body, and sustenance was created 4,000 years before the soul. Number five, making noise and clamour during the recitation of the noble Qur'an and causing difficulty for the reciter is the practice of the polytheists. It is forbidden to beat drums, make loud noises, or cause disturbances near masajid during congregational prayer or Quranic lectures. Number six, the voice most beloved to Allah Almighty is the one that calls towards goodness, even if the voice is heavy and the words simple. May Allah Almighty grant us the honour of having this voice He loves. Number seven, reciting A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim when angry is highly effective for quelling anger. Number eight, the noble prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam were always sent speaking the language of their people, and the revealed book was also in that language. It was never the case that the prophet's language differed from the language of the book. Number nine, forgetting Allah Almighty in times of ease and only praying to Him when one is in difficulty is the way of disbelievers. Allah Almighty dislikes this. Eight beautiful lessons from Surah Ash-Shura. Number one, the tawakkul held by scholars is to take all available means whilst keeping the trust in the creator of said means. The tawakkul practiced by Sufis is to turn away from means entirely and focus only on Allah Almighty. The noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam demonstrated both forms of tawakkul. Number two, Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam was the first prophet to be given a sharia and the first to openly preach to disbelievers. His unruly nation was the first to be punished. Number three, steadfastness is a sunnah of the noble prophets alayhimu salatu wassalam. Sufis say, steadfastness is better than 1,000 saintly marvels. Number four, do not stop at just one good deed. Do as many as possible. Scatter these seeds, for any of them may grow. Number five, Sufis say, half of faith is patience and the other half is gratitude. Number six, nobody in this world can speak to Allah Almighty except with a veil. Number seven, Prophet Musa alayhi salam spoke to him in this manner. When it comes to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he conversed with Allah Almighty without a veil. This occurred after he passed the arsh. Number eight, when Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam brought the first revelation, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam definitively knew who he was, that the words being recited were the noble Quran, and that Sayyiduna Jibra'il alayhi salam was sent by Allah Almighty. This is why the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not ask, "Who are you? Are you speaking of your own accord or reciting the noble Quran?" Nine beautiful lessons from Surah Al-Zukhruf. Number one, amongst all revealed scriptures, the noble Qur'an alone was sent in the Arabic language. After Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, no other prophet was sent to Arabia besides the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Earlier books were revealed in Hebrew. Arabic remains alive and widespread today due to the noble Quran. Number two, the Arabic language is superior to all others because the noble Quran was revealed in it. It is the language of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Hence, Arabic is the language of the soul, whilst others are considered bodily or worldly. Praying for pious offspring is a sunnah of the noble prophets alayhi musallatu wassalam. Number three, feeling distressed at the birth of daughters is the way of the disbelievers. Praying for sons who work to spread Islam is a sunnah of the noble prophets alayhi musallatu wassalam. Sayyiduna Ibrahim and Sayyiduna Zakariya alayhi musallam prayed for sons. After supplicating, the former would say, Isma' Ya'il, graciously listen, O Allah. When a son was born, he was named Ismail in reference to that prayer. Number four, in Islam, men and women cannot recline on cushions or sit upon bedding made of gold or silver. This is forbidden. For women, wearing gold and silver jewelry is permissible. Number five, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is alive even after his passing from this world, though he is hidden from our sight. Number six, prophethood is the foundation of all Islamic beliefs. To affirm the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is to affirm everything. To deny the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is to reject every article of faith. Number seven, asking lauded and pious servants of Allah Almighty to pray for you is an age-old practice. Number eight, disbelievers, even Fir'aun's people, believe that prophets remove hardships, fulfill needs, and hear pleas for help. In times of difficulty, they too would ask prophets for help. Number nine, some scholars have said that for a disbeliever, only his evil deeds are recorded by one angel. The second angel serves as a witness to this. Three beautiful lessons from Surah Ad-Dukhan. Number one, when Allah Almighty declares an oath in the noble Quran, it is not to convince anyone, but to show the honor and importance of what he takes oath by. Number two, accepting faith only after witnessing punishment is not accepted, as such belief is based on sight or intellect, not on trusting the words of a prophet. True faith is trusting a prophet, which is called faith in the unseen. Number three, in this world, Allah Almighty displays His Rahmaniya, His attribute of being a Rahman, by granting sustenance to both friend and foe. In the hereafter, He will display His Rahimiya, i.e. His attribute of being a Rahim, granting mercy only to the believers whilst punishing the disbelievers. Three beautiful lessons from Surah Al-Jathiyah. Number one, studying science, philosophy and mathematics is also an act of worship, but only when it serves Islam and helps one recognize signs of Allah's power. Number two, a believer who molds his appearance, lifestyle and conduct to resemble disbelievers is foolish. A believer must remain distinct from polytheists. Number three, Sufis say, the love of a believer is not recorded as a deed. A love is a state of the heart and not a physical act. All other deeds will be rewarded with paradise. But the reward of true love is proximity to Allah Almighty. Nine beautiful lessons from Surah Al-Ahqaf. Number one, it is permissible to recite or teach the noble Quran to disbelievers with the intention that they may accept faith. For Muslims, the noble Quran is recited to guide them in practice. For non-Muslims, it is to invite them to belief. True Tawheed. Number two, believing in Allah Almighty as Lord is to accept all the messengers, prophets, and scriptures He sent. If somebody claims to believe in Allah Almighty whilst denying His messenger, such a person does not truly believe in Allah. Number three, in this world, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam promised Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu that he would be alongside him in paradise. He even arranged for Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu to be laid to rest in a grave next to him. Number four, parents are responsible for guiding their children to the straight path. This is an obligation upon them. If they fail, they will be held accountable. Number five, Sufis say, a believer gives zakat upon his wealth, time and children. Number six, pride in the truth is praiseworthy, whilst wrongful pride is sinful. Considering oneself and Islam superior to disbelievers and disbelief is rightful pride and an act of worship. Showing arrogance to a saint leads to deprivation, whilst displaying arrogance to a prophet is disbelief. Number seven, before the Prophet's time, jinn would ascend to the skies and listen to the angels conversing. After his arrival, they were denied entry and struck with shooting stars. They began to ponder which personality has come into the world due to whom our kingship has ended. A group of either seven or nine jinn set off from Nasibin towards Arabia, arriving at the marketplace of Ukaz, located between Mecca and Taif. At that time, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was leading his companions in Fajr prayer at a nearby garden named Battan Nakhla. They heard the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam reciting the noble Quran and stopped to listen in silence. This Fajr prayer would be offered by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by way of ilham, as this incident occurred before the night of Mi'raj. Number 8. Paradise is not for jinn. The reward of their good deeds is salvation from punishment. Number 9. Pleasures of the body are nothing compared to spiritual torment. Even a moment of punishment outweighs all worldly comforts. A wise person should never trade eternal bliss for fleeting bodily pleasures. 8 beautiful lessons from Surah Muhammad. Number 1. Faith requires belief in everything the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam brought from Allah Almighty. Whoever rejects even a single matter, whether it reached us through Quran or Hadith, becomes a disbeliever. Number 2. As soon as a martyr is slain, he is brought before Allah Almighty and is told to express his wishes. This is why he is called a shaheed, that is, one who is present before Allah Almighty. Why rivers are in the homes of those in paradise. Number 3. There are several reasons why rivers are in paradise and not seas. Rivers are in one's control, while seas are not. Rivers are beautiful, whereas seas are uneven and lack beauty. Rivers are purely beneficial, yet seas can cause destruction through floods. Rivers can flow through homes, seas cannot. There are four rivers in paradise, of milk, pure wine, pure honey, and water. Their beauty is beyond human imagination. Number 4. whoever does not distinguish between lawful and unlawful, eating whatever comes before him, is worse than an animal. Animals lack intellect, yet they sniff and choose before eating. A human who eats heedlessly for comfort and pleasure is an animal, whilst a believer eats to worship Allah Almighty. Number 5. The arrival of the last prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is itself a major sign of the day of judgment. As the final prophet has arrived, only the day of judgment remains to occur. Likewise, the splitting of the moon and other miracles of the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are also signs of the end times. Number 6. Do not halt a good deed once it has started. For example, if one has begun a voluntary prayer, it is prohibited to discontinue it. Number 7. All time spent in negligence is considered the life of this world. This passes quickly. Occupying oneself with it incurs nothing but loss. The time spent remembering Allah Almighty and obeying Him is considered one's religious life. Number 8. Islam is not dependent on us. We depend on it. It existed before us and will remain after us. If Allah Almighty grants us the honor of serving His religion, it is nothing but His gracious favor. 4 beautiful points from Surah Al-Fath. The honor of those who pledged allegiance. Number 1. All the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, possess immense honor, especially those who participated in Bayt al-Ridwan. The number of the latter was 1400. Number 2. Pledging allegiance at the hand of a spiritual guide is a sunnah of the noble companions. Whether it is a bay'ah of Islam, i.e. piety, repentance, or righteous actions. Number 3. Shaking hands when taking bay'ah is a sunnah, but only for men. For women, the pledge is taken verbally. Number 4. Guidance comes only from the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Every type of guidance is attained from him. Keep in mind that depending on the will of Allah Almighty, some attain guidance from the noble Qur'an, whilst others do not, as evidenced by the words of the noble Qur'an. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim, yudhillu bihi kathiran wa yahdi bihi kathira. Allah misguides many through it, and He guides many through it. The core purpose behind the noble Qur'an being revealed was to guide mankind. Yet, due to lack of understanding, some listen or read to the noble Qur'an and go astray. This is what is meant by this verse, that many may read the noble Qur'an, but not all will be guided. Pure guidance and remedy is attained from the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. 7 beautiful points from Surah Al-Hujurat. Number 1. All acts of worship reflect the piety of the body. Respecting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam reflects piety of the heart. Number 2. The forgiveness of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr and Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhuma is as certain as the oneness of Allah. Number 3. Avoiding sin is one thing, but hating the sin from one's heart is another. The latter is more meritorious. Number 4. Reconciling between Muslims is a sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and amongst the greatest acts of worship. Number 5. To mock or insult a Muslim brother based on lineage is forbidden. This is the way of the polytheists. Sadly, this disease is widespread amongst Muslims today and is especially common amongst women. Number 6. Sufis say that when angels expressed their point regarding Prophet Adam alayhi salam, their repentance was to prostrate to him by Allah's command. If you have criticized or backbitten a Muslim, seek forgiveness from him with humility. Number 7. Some assumptions are compulsory, like maintaining a good opinion of Allah Almighty that He will forgive a sinful servant like me by His grace. Other assumptions are forbidden, such as having a bad opinion about Allah Almighty, thinking He will not forgive you, or harboring baseless suspicions about a righteous Muslim. 10 beautiful points from Surah Qaf. Number 1. Allah Almighty is closer to us than our jugular vein, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is even closer than our own selves. Subhanallah. Allah declares, "An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." The Prophet has more right over the Muslims than their own selves. From this we learn that in all religious and worldly matters, obeying the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam takes precedence over one's desires. If a Muslim wishes for something but the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam commands otherwise, he must set aside his desire and obey the Prophet's command. Remember, one obeys Allah Almighty by obeying the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Following the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam over one's carnal self, i.e. nafs, is the means of salvation, because he calls to what saves mankind and leads them to success. On the other hand, the nafs leads to destruction. Every Muslim should obey the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in all worldly and religious matters instead of their nafs, so they may protect themselves from ruin. Number 2. After the passing of a believer, the two noble scribe angels, i.e. the Kiram and Katibin, continuously recite Tasbih and Tahleel at his grave until the day of judgment. The reward of this is given to that believer. Hellfire for the disbelievers. Number 3. The same angels appointed to record the deeds of disbelievers will be the ones to cast them into hell. Number 4. Disbelievers will not be gently admitted into hell, but thrown into it from above. We seek refuge in Allah Almighty from this. A sinful believer, even if he enters hell, will not be cast in this way. Number 5. The friend who encourages nafs al-ammara to do wrong is a devil. Whoever inspires the heart to do good is an angel. Number 6. The one who returns is he who does not persist in sin and repents instead. A hafiz is he who ensures his every action is within the boundaries of Islamic law. Number 7. Sufis say, Qalb munib, i.e. heart that repents, is a great bounty from Allah bestowed upon the fortunate. Number 8. Engaging in tasbih and tahleel after prayer is highly virtuous. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the noble companions radiallahu anhum performed remembrance of Allah Almighty aloud after congregational prayer, such that the entire neighborhood could hear. Number 9. Sayyiduna Israfil alayhi salam will stand on the rock of Baytul Maqdis and call out to the dead. All will rise and come to him. Number 10. Calling out to the dead is not polytheism, i.e. shirk. Sayyiduna Israfil alayhi salam will call the dead. Prophets Uzair and Ibrahim alayhi salam called out to a deceased mule and 4 deceased birds respectively. 6 beautiful points from Surah Al-Dhariyat. Number 1. Sayyiduna Jibreel distributes the winds. Sayyiduna Mika'il oversees rain. Sayyiduna Israel takes souls And Sayyiduna Israfil implements divine commands. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Number two, sleeping or staying awake for the entire night are both not ideal. The sunnah is to sleep in the early part of the night, awake for tahajjud near the end, and then rest again for a while. Number three, the poor have a share in the wealth of the rich, and the unskilled have a share in the excellence of the skilled. Insha'Allah, sinners like us will benefit from the worship performed by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and through the blessings of his prostrations, countless sinners will be forgiven. We belong to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and paradise belongs to him. Number four, if righteous servants of Allah Almighty are present, punishment does not descend upon the sinful. When punishment is decreed, the righteous are taken away beforehand. Number five, the real reason jinn and humankind were created is not to earn livelihood, but to worship Allah Almighty. Livelihood is secondary to worship, just like workers are paid for a service they render for a king. If a worker stops, he is not rightful to wages. Yet, out of his mercy, Allah Almighty still provides sustenance to even the most negligent. The purpose of life. Number six, Allah Almighty provides universal sustenance to all creatures, such as sunlight, air, the earth they stand upon, and the sky above. Special sustenance such as faith, spiritual knowledge, sainthood, guidance, and prophethood is only given to his chosen servants. If sustenance depended solely on one's earnings, a child in the mother's womb would not receive it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.